Miles. We're broadcasting from Roswell at the station Roswell Project Headquarters. Guy Malone is one of the movers and shakers in the Roswell community, especially when it comes to conferences and unique things. And next year, Guy, we were talking about your conference. You're going to have all the speakers down at the Civic Center, mm-hmm. and it's going to deal basically with disclosure. One of the things missing this year, a lot of people come up to me and says there don't seem to be as many kiddie rides and things. This used to be a real family thing.
Yeah, that had more of a festival atmosphere, I think, because of that. Because I've got
I already found you that you don't want to run a bus out to the web. The crash site.
Right. So, it's physically. So we need anti-gravity to run a bus out to the crash site.
And so I guess I'm going to find out he doesn't want to run a merry-go-round.
I don't want to run one. You're right, yeah, but I will certainly permit one if somebody else wants to set it up. Especially if you've got adults making a 4th of July is always considered kind of a family weekend. But if you've got adults making a trip and they want to bring their kids, the kids probably won't want to sit through, you know, 5-6 lectures in a row. So since I've got the anchor location of the conference center up there, or the Civic Center, I'm not opposed to people putting up rides. And
they could contact you through your...
Yeah. One of the domains I own, which is RoswellUFOFestival.com, which is another reason I'm not I often get in Dutch for here in town. And I post a comprehensive schedule of everything that's going on in town, no matter what groups.
That's actually how I found what was happening this year.
Thanks, yeah. But, you know, there's one or two or three different schedules, and there's a lot of events going on, but there's no master schedule published of everything that might be of interest to tourists and web surfers. So that's what I did with that site. And with that URL and the location I have, everybody here in town that's wanting to do anything that would benefit Roswell tourism and community and families and add to the body of knowledge of UFO research, I'll link to your event, even if I'm not the promoter, sponsor, or even if I'm not particularly affirming of it.
I go to that website to check, because you seem to have everything that's happening.
I tried.
And let's talk a little bit about... Before we went to the break, we were talking about Giant Rock and the thing out at Southern California, and then that happened actually after Roswell. That whole area between 47 and, I'd say, 54, 55 seemed to be pretty active. I don't know if we've had any, you know, we do sightings reports every week, and we have sightings, but... There were a lot of things happening during that time, including the flap over Washington, D.C. and the nation's capital and messages and et cetera. What do you make of all that?
Honestly, it may be a combination of a couple things going on, because we know about the Silver Disk, Ken Arnold era sightings, and that was a huge flap all over the country, but especially in the Southwest, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. The California ones, like I said, that seems to be more of a contactee movement than it was a UFO sighting thing. It's harder to quantify in a nuts and bolts way. You've got to either ask yourself whether you believe the credibility of the witnesses first, and then you've got to examine what the entities were saying. And it seems, and again, you weren't dealing with grays or what people believed happened in Roswell with the 50s. In fact, two of the talks that I loved the most at that, Integraton, Retro UFO, I've asked Adam Gorightly and Greg Bishop to speak here in Roswell. They were making the argument, and believe me, with no religious axe to grind, that those contactees were more or less ritual magicians, that they weren't so much seeing UFOs, but they were practicing rituals which summoned them or opened portals. Yeah, well, often they were just individual things, though, but they would have certain seances. L. Ron Hubbard is known of doing this as well, seances or opening portals or black magic, and then something that we might call a UFO would show up, and they'd get messages from people. So if I...
Well, now, you promote UFO conferences. I do UFO shows. I have... Seems more and more people coming to me and saying, hey, I'll call up a UFO. I'll put out a challenge.
Prophet Yahweh? Is
that
who?
Right. Those types. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to Yahweh. He went to Phoenix to call up one from Las Vegas, got on a Greyhound bus, and we've never heard from him. Have you?
I remember that challenge, but I also posted... Like, he did that successful thing for one camera, but I posted his mailing list from, like, 3-4 years ago where he was in a different town with a different news cameras. And he promised his mailing list, this is the event that's going to, you know, do it on TV. And he didn't, I think that's what you're referring to. Yeah. They didn't show, so he moved. And then like 4 years later, he gets famous in Las Vegas for something showing up on film.
And it didn't quite work out, and he got on a Greyhound bus, and we've never heard from him.
Yeah, I looked at his profile on Yahoo's dating website, and his, occupation was listed as entertainer.
So there's a lot of that going on, and, I guess would be described as not necessarily a skeptic. Maybe you're just a little cautious about reaching a conclusion that extraterrestrials actually are here.
Yeah,
You do have an open mind.
Yeah, because people know I come from the biblical perspective, and that it's no secret that there's more than a little animosity between much of ufology and much of the Christian church. But I think it's because most Christians aren't spending the time doing any real research into the topic to convince them that there's anything worth looking at. They just brush it off, oh, it's all demonic. And there are good arguments for that, but one, I'm not going to say it's all demonic. I can document for you what I believe is.
It seems to me that, and I'm going to ask you a little bit about that in a second, but it seems to me you're talking about different times and different ways people could explain things, and they would write down things that are a little different than maybe in the descriptions.
Yeah, that's the argument that everything you see in the Bible is really a UFO, and that's what the Raelian cult says, that, you know, whenever you'd see the fire by night, cloud by day, or if a prophet was taken up to the sky, that was a UFO.
I guess the book Spaceships of Ezekiel was the key turning point on that argument.
Or Barry Downing's The Bible and Flying Saucers, and again, but that is the view of every known UFO cult. They always use the Bible to justify what they're saying. So I caution people with that view. And I've also did a 90-minute lecture rebutting, if you take one verse and say, here, look, this could maybe be a UFO. Yeah, you're right, I agree with you if you only read that verse, but what I did in the lecture was I read you the chapter, or at least portions of it, read the verses above it and the verses below it, and you can see that there's descriptions far beyond what we'd consider UFO.
As a Christian, how do you open up the idea that there are ETs possibly?
Genesis 2:1, God created the heavens and the earth, and all the hosts of them.
In other words, the old argument about, well, we can't tell people we made contact because it will rock the Christian community.
Yeah, that's the report from the 60s, the starts with a B, the Bigelow, Bungalow, whatever report. Mike Kaiser is one of the, he's a PhD theologian that I've had at my conferences, and it used to be in church history that it was, if you said that there was no chance of life on other planets, you were a heretic because you were limiting God's omnipotence. God is all powerful. Yeah, God's all powerful. He can do whatever he pleases. So if you say there can't be life on other planets, you're a heretic for limiting the creative ability of God. That's only really switched in the 20th century, pretty much.
The demonic examples. What are you talking about here?
Well, if a contactee comes, or an abductee, comes and says that this entity tells me that they're from X and such planet, that they created life on Earth, that they are our gods and our creators, and that they're here to show us the way spiritually, that they're the ones who sent Jesus and he was a hybrid, and that the path to salvation is realizing that you're God, and that we're all one big happy universe. Well, that message, while I believe in the First Amendment, the person's right to believe that, that message is in 180 degrees diametric opposition to what the Bible says about who created life on earth and where we're all going and what the path to enlightenment or salvation is.
I must tell you that I have a fundamentalist background, raised as a Southern Baptist. Everybody is very, very religious. And I want to tell you that the thing that astounded me, I've done, as you know, UFO shows for 5 years, but I've really only started going to conferences and meeting people and stopping just doing the show business angle, but actually doing some investigation and things. The spiritual element and the religious element, they seem to be saying the same thing in different words. You have to take it for faith.
You have to if someone tells you that they had a contact. Yeah, yeah. I've often said that is.
It seems to be they both are.
Without more solid evidence of aliens and UFOs, I agree that belief that aliens are visiting Earth is an article of faith because you can't prove it. There's reasons to suggest it, but it's not definitive.
I'm trying to think there are ETs and they are visiting the Earth, but one thing does bother me. I want to go interview one, and you'd think in 5 years you'd be able to do that.
Right, yeah. And that's suggestive of trickery, deception, elusiveness, leading people on.
On the other hand, I've had thousands of people that I've talked to over 45 years. They all can't be creative fictional.
Oh, no way. No way.
And they have lots of similarities, and you check into it, they're not...
Yeah, they're all telling the same story.
Yeah, and they haven't just all heard the same story.
So something's happening, right. And I think it deserves both scientific, theological, even political investigation and dialogue from anybody who's got any credible or possibly verifiable information. But I'm just, like you said, I'm cautious. I'm not going to jump to a conclusion. If you're going to say it's demons, I want your evidence.
Because we had this discussion yesterday between interviews with the staff over here. If an extraterrestrial came through this door and sat down here where you are, and instead of having makeup on like you did in California, but actually looked that way, and I had every belief that he was an extraterrestrial, and he sat here and did the show, and everybody saw him. When he left, I bet you half the audience would say, that guy wasn't really an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, my challenge in that situation is take me to your leader. Take me to your home world.
We can't take you to...
I want a camera and radar blips on me that can be verified. If you can get here, you can take me by where you came from. And to me, that is the proof of the pudding that is yet to happen. People claim to be taken everywhere, but it just could be astral or a dream experience that they believe is real. But if an ET physically manifests, I want to be wired up through NASA and take a camera to his home world.
Problems here that... How are you going to prove it's not a dream?
Yeah, exactly. You can't prove a negative, for sure. But the way you're going to answer your question is, take me to your place. I want it tracked on radar that this is where I am in space and time, around this star at this planet.
Attention, intergalactic community.
Take me to your leader.
Ready to go and meet your leader.
Yeah.
Well, I've had people sit down with nice, reasonable people with important degrees, look me right in the eye and say, yep. I went down to Kennedy Airport and got that plane to Jupiter. You know, I mean, and they actually obviously really believe it because it's so outlandish.
Right.
And then you ask them about it, and they tell you all about what they saw.
Well, interestingly, what people don't realize is half of these really bizarre experiences in the Bible are dreams and visions. You read the whole chapter somewhere. Ezekiel chapter 1, the famous UFO verse, it opens up with, I had a vision. And it says again, this was a vision. It was a paranormal, alternate dimension type experience. There's no reason to believe anything manifested in real space and time. He was physically, he was lifted up, he says, in the spirit and taken all these places and shown this stuff. So the people you're talking about, I don't doubt their testimony. And I believe that usually I believe people when they have a testimony like that. But
Well, I don't have a heart to challenge them too hard.
Oh, no, I won't bother either. It's just there are other dimensions. There's an astral realm. There's spiritual dreamscapes and stuff like that. And those are all real. They're just not space-time 3D in the way that you and I think of them. So when we're talking about evidence or...
Space-time 3D, we've got to take time for a commercial.
Yeah.
Realism, we'll be back.
Do you have a problem with mold or mildew in your home? Well, listen to this. We have found a product you will love. Moldzyme, an effective non-toxic mold and mildew cleaner. Moldzyme is the cleaner, greener way to remove mold and mildew stains. This is a line of completely non-hazardous, non-toxic, and environmentally safe products. It gets rid of mold and mildew stains quickly, easily, and safely. Moldzyme contains no chlorine or ammonia, is non-hazardous and hypoallergenic, safe on wood, concrete, and brick, inside or outside your home. Mozyme eliminates odors and is fragrance-free, an all-natural and environmentally safe way to remove mold and mildew stains that really work. See the complete line of products by clicking on one of the Mozyme banners located throughout our website. You'll be glad you did.
I am alone. Interesting perspective that you have. And when we talk about your next promotion next year, the conference will be on disclosure. Disclosing what will be very interesting. Do you have a hunch? I guess your speakers will take the entire. You're pretty good at having all representative views.
Filling a day.
Yeah, you're pretty good at that.
Yeah, I'm more interested. I guess my angle with this disclosure thing is not so much answering the question, what's going on. I'm more interested in the right to know, the right of American citizens to know. There may be reasons, good and valid reasons, why we're not told this, what's going on. And I think a lot of it has to do with technology that in the wrong hands could be very destructive. But as a Christian, I just cannot see any instance where dishonesty is the best policy.
Well, I agree with you on that.
And I
cannot imagine why we would want to cover it up.
I believe the government is subject to the will of the people. So that's what I want these people to argue.
I personally believe in a dark side of the ET thing. I think there are some out there that are going to do us harm.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been too many messages sent to us that way from Hollywood.
But that knowledge could cause a little panic, it's the economy, stupid.
But my point was, even if it's that bad, I still think people would be better off knowing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is, if
you believe that there's something bad coming or an intergalactic war here, you're not going to put down $1 million in 30-year bonds. Well, it's the economy, stupid. You know? Mm-hmm. And if there's alternative energy sources, we could power the planet with free energy, or at least without oil and fossil fuels. And, you know, the people that are controlling all these secrets are, you can follow the money trail back to big oil.
Well, I agree with you that completely. I think that the people running these secret installations, and I'd kind of like to get your feeling about this because you've been in this for a long time, I've come to the conclusion it's really not the government. It's corporate America running Area 51.
Yeah, like Jim Mars's rule by secrecy, or what we'd call secret government, shadow government, New World Order. The interesting thing, though, is every Christian would refer to this as what's going to culminate in Antichrist government. I covered a lot of that in my opening lecture yesterday, that this New World Order is already prophesied in the Bible in detail.
I understand that. As I said, I have a background in that. On the other side of the coin on the New World Order, and I'm certainly not arguing for these guys because I don't think they're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
But just for instance, the border controversies we have now of illegal aliens, I always think that is kind of a manufactured problem.
I've got to agree.
Americans, we're all world people, we're Europeans, Australians, we're all humans. And so why do we resent a new world order? Why do we embrace nationalism? Now, I'm not saying this is my belief. I'm just asking a question. Why do we embrace nationalism and patriotism when really I'm from Oklahoma, I just came here to New Mexico, I came through Texas. It shouldn't be any different in my opinion.
And I'd love to feel just as welcome in Tokyo, Sydney, or China to come and go.
If I wanted to go to Guatemala tomorrow, why should I have to go through a bunch of fake IDs? or not necessarily literally fake. I'm talking about people requiring a visa from this country and this country. That's what I'm talking about when I say fake. Because it's man-made. It's things put up. Even that's about money, I guess. I have people contacting me all the time from places like Africa and some African nations, and you would be surprised what it costs to get a visa. It's literally $10,000 you got to pay somebody under the
table. The love of money is the root of all evil. There's corruption. There's corruption at the top of that. Yeah, somebody in power.
And so it seems to me that a lot of our problems here, the New World Order, the way they want to do it, if they're going to give us the Mark of the Beast and that's a computer card and you can't do anything without that, then that's pretty bad. But if you can't open up humanity, where if you're in India or China or Oklahoma, you recognize you're still a human being.
And we all are, yeah.
Just like,
yeah, I don't think one world government's a bad idea. I don't think a cashless society is a bad idea. It works great on paper.
It's just the idea of the unintended consequences of these things.
Yeah.
And I'm not alarmed at all by any of the conservatives that say, well, wait a minute, let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got good points. And so I'm not saying we ought to rush into that, but I'm not so sure that these intergalactic councils that the ETs come from, they may have the same problems. There may be more than one group coming here is what I meant. I don't
right.
think it's all good.
Right, yeah, that's referred to kind of often as far as, kind of forgot where I was going, but the hallmark of a lot of the contactee movement is that if humanity will arise or awaken to a little bit higher spiritual level, we can join this galactic brotherhood.
But don't you think, and I have people in my
not that I affirm I, that I, total, I don't affirm that view totally, but
they believe we should all feel good and love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that too.
Yeah.
But I think that's impossible.
Why?
I don't think mankind can strive to that. I think mankind's going to want to be one up on somebody,
mm-hmm.
going to figure out the best way. It's just human nature. It's the nature of the animal kingdom.
The flesh and the love of money.
Right. You're going
absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And I believe that's a goal that's worth striving for. But anybody thinks we can reach that,
I agree.
they're kidding.
Yeah.
You're just ripe to be taken.
Yeah.
I don't mean that you need to be running around looking under every rock. I guess what I'm saying here is that it seems to me that you should accept what people say on face value, and this gets back to our interviews with
right.
ETs. But at the same time, a healthy dose of skepticism is welcome. In other words, you don't need to say, oh, that guy's cynical. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they may believe that. They may, from their perspective, may really be, but is that really what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where our shows are. We want to try to figure out what's really happening. And one of the things that really bugs me is the abduction scenarios. What do you think of those?
I think a lot. I think it's really happening, but I won't necessarily say it's any one thing. I do believe mine often lean towards the spiritual, astral part of it. In fact, when I did the talk yesterday, UFOs 101.
Don't you believe that some of this is demonic?
That's what I'm referring to as the spiritual astral end of it. But that doesn't account for scoop marks, scars on the body, et cetera, et cetera. I think my labs are a big part of this.
I agree with you. It's demonic, but
yeah.
It might be.
Well, it's not all, is what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The UFOs 101 lecture that I did, half an hour of that was covering the major abduction researchers and their findings. You're talking Harvard, Temple University, PhD, MIT conference, where these people are saying this is real, it's physical, it's happening in the space-time. And I think it's going on, but I don't think there's any one answer. It's like the UFO phenomena. If it's a chameleon, pin the tail on the chameleon. If you think you have the answer that fits, and you're sitting there holding it up in front of everybody, it breaks its tail off and runs away and leaves you looking stupid. The entity changes to fit your perception of it, and I think there's more than one answer. It's not either or final answer. There could be some both ands
right,
involved.
I didn't mean to get you over here into a deep discussion of
this. Oh, I love deep discussion. We got coffee? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
But
I think the UFO researchers...
The shades of the UFO business that...
I think the researchers ignore this, the MyLabs, the secret government, whether it's human experimentation or pumping them for intelligence about their truer abduction encounters. But that's that's one of the speakers we've had here, was Leah Haley talking on her experiences that were, when I say government, I mean secret government. I don't mean U.S. government, but some covert black ops thing.
Leah and quite a few people over the years with abduction stories say that the government or somebody comes right behind them.
Yeah, to gather intel.
Worse than the
extraterrestrials. Yeah, to gather intel. Yeah. But biblically, though, one of the things we've hammered here is the Genesis 6 paradigm. There is a biblical record of angels mating with human women to create a hybrid race. And that's exactly what we see in today's abduction literature. They're being taken impregnated and creating a hybrid race. To what purposes? I'm not even going to pretend to say for sure, but there's many views. But that is one more indicator. It boils down to when you're talking about the biblical stuff. Do you believe the Bible is true and says what it says? Like when the Bible says angels did this, some people are going to say, well, that's really extraterrestrials. But back then, they didn't know what ETs were, so they made up. They said it was angels.
So who do you say it was?
I believe what happens in Genesis 6 was fallen angels. So the sons of God, their actions were against God. They weren't supposed to incarnate and have sex with human women. That was against God's will, and he destroyed the Nephilim in the flood to wipe that out. But I think that same activity, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. If you want to know what the world is going to look like right before Jesus returns, Jesus' prophetic advice is look back at what was happening in the days of Noah. You've got supernatural entities mating with women.
End times story, it's here.
It's coming, but Christians have been saying that for 2,000 years. I'm not saying it's coming this weekend to a theater near you or anything.
We can't get to say it's 2012.
No, definitely not. I think that's ridiculous, actually. I don't think it's ridiculous, but I don't think... I mean, there was a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988, that was very popular. Turn of the century, people were selling their homes and buying rapture robes and going out. The letters in the Bible, the first century Christians and Corinthians, Paul was writing things to calm down Christians who believed it was going to happen then. So now it's always imminent is the healthy point of view to take. But there are certain signs just not fulfilled. And the Genesis 6 factor is one of them, because in the Bible, it wasn't abductions. It was consensual marriages. I don't see that happening with ETs or aliens yet today. Supernatural entities openly walking the streets, so coupling.
Guess who came home for dinner? It would be not racial. It would be a little girl coming home, daughter.
Be a little more xenophobic. Yeah. Yeah, so that's, until that's happening, I don't think we're in an era that describes the days of Noah to a T yet.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Guy, when did you get into this? This is pretty far out from your basic religion.
Sure.
Or is it?
No. It's based on it. In 1997, when the Heaven's Gate cult suicide happened, I felt moved to prevent that type of deception from happening further. I heard on the news that most of the people found that cult via their website, internet searches. So I put something that would answer people's UFO questions, or at least begin to answer it from an orthodox biblical perspective rather than a cult perspective. So really my motivation in general is to prevent occult belief systems.
To Roswell to start the first church of Guy Malone.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Or to make money. You know, one thing you need to know or that people may not realize, I work a full-time job. Sure. You know, I'm a Monday through Friday bartender, actually. Very flexible hours. Even though we have huge conferences, mm-hmm. it all goes back into producing bigger and better conferences.
You get reaching people, I guess. Get into the skeptics, and the first thing they say to me is, he's just doing that for money. Well, I've been in this business for a long time. I haven't seen a lot of UFO people making any money.
No, anybody that gets into ufology for money got out a long time ago.
Yeah, they got the wrong business school.
Ask Steven Spielberg. Only fiction really sells. He's the most successful ufologist financially in the world.
And a lot of things that Spielberg has done have been adapted later as biblical in the term of ufology. Not biblical.
Yeah. They're matters of faith, for sure. He's got some, they're accepted norms or belief systems. But he's well-researched.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a lot.
I mean, Valet was the model for the scientist in Close Encounters. And, you know, it's often said that there were people from the CIA on the set of Close Encounters giving him details, you know, to make the movie more, quote, realistic.
Yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get back, you're having a disclosure conference. Seems to me there's been little hints of disclosure all along.
Yeah, I made that point in Hollywood at that scene. I think that rather than an open proclamation, they're just trying to let it leak slowly. You know, when the Bigelow Report was published in the 60s, it found that disclosure of this topic would cause a lot of panic, and societies, when they bump into each other, one usually gets destroyed.
You know, I used to scoff at that, but I've noticed how fear is used by the government in, in the area of terrorism has really worked.
Yeah.
So the fear factor is strong.
But since the 60s, all these little Steven Spielberg and UFO conferences, most people are, now the idea of life on other planets isn't offensive to them. I mean, they just expect it to be true.
You're not the first guy to come on a UFO show with me and said I'm a Christian.
Definitely. I know there's a lot of us out there.
In the 60s,
yeah.
My mother used to just kind of put up with me. The point is, the whole acceptance in the Christian community has changed.
Yeah, it's getting there. Our shop has been sponsored like $100 a month from one church here or $50 from there. That's not a huge factor of it, but when we do the conferences, there's a church in Roswell that our pastor came and he did the opening welcome remarks to the 2004 conference just to welcome ufologists to Roswell.
Yeah, we came to that conference. We were going to do the Roswell shows anyway, and we didn't really know quite how to handle your group, except actually I think when it was over, we had, A, on my perspective, very good shows, and secondly, I think you did something very well there. You got these people at least talking to each other.
Yeah.
So you ought to be proud of it.
Thanks, I am.
There's two things I liked about Guy Malone, that and then showing up in the Mojave Desert in a tie with an egg in face. And you can see that picture.
AlienStranger.com.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's much more to love.
Thank you very much, Guy. I've enjoyed it.
You bet.
Okay. This is Jerry Pippin. You've been listening to UFO Files. Our own location producer has been Roberta Scott, and our production director was Jim Smith. Likely not. Until next time, cheers.